Choose to run after you, Lord. We choose to seek you. We choose to hunger and thirst for righteousness that only comes from you, Lord Jesus, only from your shed blood, only from the power of your resurrection. Lord, we run after you. We run after your word, your truth. Lord, for you to lead us and guide us into all truth in your word, Lord. Speak to us. Teach us, show us things to come. Prepare us, Lord, to be a light to the world in every way, to speak your truth, to be fearless. Truly, Lord, to even be counted as an enemy by those out there, Lord, because, Lord, we know they hate you. They hate the light. They hate the truth. They hate the truth about sin, about judgment day. And about hell, they hate those things. But Lord, we're going to teach your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. We welcome everyone. Fire and Grace Church this morning. Those watching and listening. Hopefully, everywhere out there, everything going good. All right, that's good news. Praise God. I had... personally had computer problems this morning. It's time for a new computer. I think mine's seen its last day, at least for me, it's seen its last day. But anyway, we want to welcome everyone. Just a quick announcement real quick. This is about the easiest way for me to do it. We will have the revised, corrected, expanded edition of Like Clay Under the Seal, my book on biblical creation, cosmology, flat earth, science versus religion. We will have that on November, 29th, the day after Thanksgiving. Our publisher has been swamped. I guess people are trying to get stuff done before Christmas, so it got pushed back a bit. We were shooting for the 20th, but that's all right. They'll still be here. We'll start shipping them out the day after Thanksgiving. So anyway, want to let everybody know that. We praise God. It's done. We can move on to the next thing. Well, this morning I want to speak to you a few minutes. Going to share some things. I've entitled this message this morning, The Enemy of the State. Now, there was a movie that came out, I think it was in 96, I can't remember, 97, 98, somewhere in that time period, with Will Smith and Gene Hackman and John Voight. John Voight played the evil NSA director. It was really a great movie back in the day. It actually was telling you the truth, that they're spying on every electronic transmission of everything back then. Of course, their whole satellite thing was not telling you the truth. But it was interesting, though, before I get into this, just to realize that in this movie, and it, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was 98, pretty sure it was. But, of course, this is before 9/11, right? So one of the scenes in the movie is when Will Smith's being chased by the NSA, the rogue NSA teams trying to kill him because he has information that they're not happy about. And let me just say, in this movie, the enemy of the state is the good guy. So let's just keep that in mind. But anyway, they were after him, and he meets up with Gene Hackman, who is an ex-NSA agent, and they pull up the evil NSA, the head of the NSA, they pull up his information. What was interesting, his birthday was September 11th. 1940 in the movie, and right after that, the next scene is the building coming down behind them as they leave on fire and coming down behind them. I thought, wow, you can't get much more Illuminati predictive programming than that, of course. But this movie was them telling you the truth. But I got a little different spin on it today. But of course, many of you know that this past weekend was the third United States Flat Earth International Conference. It was held in Dallas, Texas this time. Of course, many of you know I spoke at the first one in Raleigh in 2017 and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ and laid down the truth that Flat Earth won't save you if you don't come to Jesus. It doesn't matter how much truth you have. If you don't come all the way to know Jesus Christ, the Jesus of the Bible, God in the flesh, the one who died on the cross and rose from the dead, if you don't come to know Him through faith and repentance and believing what the Bible says, if you don't come to Him who is the way, the truth, and the life, then you're going to miss the boat. And the message was entitled, Flat Earth Won't Save You. It went all over. Well, it's just interesting. We'll flip here. We'll go to this. I had a little fun with playing with my PowerPoint there. Mark Sargent, for those of you who don't know, Mr. Mark Sargent has kind of appointed himself the leader of the Flat Earth movement. But I believe he's an agent, but we'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, Mark Sargent is the one who put out Flat Earth Clues. Of course, he sometimes proclaims to be a Christian, at other times not. I can assure you by listening to him over and over again through the years that his theology is not Christian. It is universalism, New Age, you know, mixing in Christianity with it. But anyway, what's interesting is he just wrote a new book. And let's see here. Did I put that up? Well, I'm going to fast forward through some of this. We'll come back to this in a second because I'm going to talk about the counterfeit. There's a counterfeit for everything. If this will move here. There we go. I want to get to this. Of course, they got mad because I exposed them all. But we'll come back to that in a second here. Y'all get to see it anyway. It's good for you. Here we go. There's his new book, Flat Earth Clues, The End of the World. Of course, it says here, down here, I came across this because I just saw somebody posted it on Facebook and said all attendees of the Flat Earth International Conference 2019 will get a signed copy of Mark Sargent's book. And I thought, oh, well, I had heard a rumor that I was talked about in this book. So I thought, well, let's see. So I got it. And of course, he says there, Mr. Robbie Davidson pestered him about writing the book. Robbie Davidson is Celebrate Truth. He's the one that puts on these conferences of compromise, New Agers and Freemasons and witches and Gnostics and everything else get to speak there. But anyway, there it is. This is Robbie Davidson. He said he thinks Robbie Davidson pestering to write the book. So why a Christian is pestering a heretical non-Christian to write a book about biblical cosmology boggles my mind to begin with, but I don't think logic and reason factor into all this. But this is a table of contents, and if you'll notice down here, chapter 10, this is his chapter 10, he's got chapter 10 called Enemies of the State. And he lists off Neil deGrasse Tyson, Brian Cox. He's a guy in the UK that's always pushing the globe and heliocentrism and scientism. And let's see, Bill Nye's in this chapter, Elon Musk, Joe Rogan, Logan Paul, Red Bull, Metatron, Mad Mike, and guess who? I'm in the chapter, The Enemies of the State. I think that is hilarious. Though I heard a rumor that I was anyway, so that's not, I just verified it myself. But I saw a good point here. I saw a good opportunity to make some points using this stuff here, because it's pretty amazing what he actually said. See, here's the chapter. Chapter 10, enemies of the state. Neil deGrasse Tyson, and of course it goes through, and then got a whole set, little subsection there of talking about old Pastor Dean here in Alabama. And here's one of the, some of what he said here, which I actually am just blown away. I'm hopefully, maybe he'll send me a signed copy. I would enjoy that. But he says here, I feel bad about putting a strong Christian on the enemy's list, but I do not know how I can give him a pass. For those who are not up on the FE gossip, here is Dean in a nutshell. And then he goes on to say, he says, he talks about where we had coffee together, breakfast together in Raleigh. But he says, one of the flatterer side effects is enhanced conviction for just about anything you are already into. This will make some Christians into ultra-Christians. Dean started analyzing other Christian FE members and eventually drew lines in the sand when it came to chapter and verse. Oh, how horrible. He made a lot of claims about what was salvational, and he said, and it did not get much traction. Now, this is what I find funny. First of all, he says, I'm a strong Christian. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate that. That's the best compliment I can get, and for putting it in your book. So all those people say, you got a problem with a strong Christian. I wonder why that is. Also, you got a problem with a Christian that draws a line in the sand when it comes to the Bible, the scriptures, chapter and verse, that we should go by the Bible and not your mixture of New Age, feel-good, mega-church, seeker-sensitive, watered-down, you know, really universalism, everybody's going to make it, everybody's okay, I'm okay, you're okay, it's all about love and joy and peace, right? Peace. No. That's not Christianity. Christianity, Mark, and really this is a lot of people. The Christianity a lot of people are pushing now is not the Christianity of the Bible. It's counterfeit. That's why I had that up there a minute ago. Counterfeit. There's a counterfeit. Satan has a counterfeit for everything. He's got a counterfeit for peace. He's got a counterfeit love. He's got a counterfeit gospel. He's got a counterfeit Jesus. He's even got a counterfeit cosmology and creation account. He's got a counterfeit flat earth movement. It's the counterfeit. What these guys think, they discovered something new, and it was Christians back in the 1800s and the 1900s who were pushing this and writing the books about it that they all quote and wrote books about it. I mean, Eric Dubé's book, The Flat Earth Conspiracy, that kind of started this new movement, all he did was quote the Christians from the 1800s and the early 1900s that were writing about this, and who were putting forth that it was biblical and that it could be proven that the earth is flat and covered by a dome and that heaven is above and hell is beneath. These were Christians. Not these people. Not these people like Sargent, Robbie Davidson, Nate Wolf. Not these people who have a form of godliness but deny the power. Their Christianity is not a biblical version, and they have problems with somebody that says, because what upset them so much in 2017? Because I got up there and said, yes, the Bible is a flat earth book. It teaches a flat earth. It teaches a geocentric cosmology. It teaches that the sun and the moon and the stars move and not the earth, that the earth is still and at rest. The Bible teaches this. All right. And I got up there and I said, the Bible is certainly a flat earth geocentric book. That is clear as a bell. But it's also a Jesus book. It's also a heaven book. It's also a hell book. It talks about how to be saved, how to be saved from the consequences and the penalty of your sin. And I got up there and said that Jesus is the only way, the Jesus of the Bible, the one who died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead, the one who was born of a virgin, who lived a sinless life, who was God in the flesh, who rose from the dead, that you have to believe in him and you have to confess your sins to him and you have to have forgiveness and the cleansing of your sins away by his blood and his blood only, or you don't go to heaven. That was my crime. That made me the enemy of the flat earth state. That was my crime. And I began to point out, this one over here who drinks her pee is into witchcraft. And this one over here believes that if you eat bacon, you're going to hell, Mr. Skiba. And this one over here believes that, you know, there's the serpent seed and the Holy Spirit is feminine and Sophia, Gnosticism. So I just began to point out what they taught, what they believed, and pointed out how the Bible was against what they were teaching and what they believed. And I drew the line in the sand. I drew the line in the sand when it comes to the Bible. Because you know what? A true Christian, and let me just teach you a little something here, Mark. A true Christian, oh, and they'll be watching. A true Christian believes that the Bible, from Genesis to Malachi and Matthew to Revelation, is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of Almighty God that he breathed and moved upon men to write exactly what he wanted. And those words are not negotiable.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
And he means what he says. And so you want to quote. He wants to quote after the chapter in there. He wants to quote. He wants to quote Bible and start talking about the Bible, what the Bible says about the shape of the earth. But you don't want to talk about what it says about heaven and hell. What it says about what it is, what is salvational. They don't want to talk about that. I tell you what, I'd love to debate Mr. Sargent on, yes, what is salvational according to the Bible? Oh, he won't do that. We'll sit down and have a long discussion. You know, for the true Christian, anything in here in this book that can be, or any issue that comes up, or any problem, or any sin, or any false doctrine or teaching that comes up, if it can affect whether someone goes to heaven or hell, then that's an important issue. So yes, we must have discussions on what's biblical. What is salvational? If you eat bacon, are you going to hell like Rob Skiba teaches? No. He's making it salvational. We're not. You get what I'm saying? There's plenty of these false teachers out here. But I love this right here where he said, it did not get much traction. Let me see. Skyfall 2019 was just about a month ago. No, I guess, you know, we talked about biblical creation, Satan's lies, a lot of different topics. No, we're not getting much traction. No? Not much traction at all. No, nobody's interested in what we're doing or saying. Not to mention, just a few months ago, Ms. Sheila Zielinski had me on her program to share about flat earth and biblical creation. And if you'll notice right here, we're getting no traction, huh? Just that video, over 83,000 views, not counting, she told me, she's had probably just as many podcasts downloaded. No. We're not getting any traction. Nobody wants to hear biblical creation from a pastor, that would be odd, wouldn't it? I just want to show how stupid and silly and high school, it's really just high school drama to me. It would be just laughable if there were people who actually believe these people are Christians and starting to fall for their versions of Christianity, whether it's the Torah nonsense, the Torah deception, that you got to go back and follow the Old Testament to really be right with God and to be saved, or, you know, it doesn't matter if you drink your pee and practice astrology and numerology and gematria and Freemasonry and Gnosticism. Doesn't matter if you try to telepathically communicate with Bigfoot like Karen B does. These are the people at the Flat Earth International Conference last year, and most of them were back this year, except there's a greater now Torah fest going on within this group now. But let's see if we can go here. Here's what he went on to say. Now, this is good because you know what? How many of you have people in your lives like this anyway that are doing this to you? Oh, don't be an ultra Christian. Don't draw lines in the sand about chapter and verse. That's your interpretation. I have my own. There's nothing new. He said, of course, there were a few members within the Flat Earth community still standing with me. Yeah, the Christians are. The New Agers and the witches and the Satanists and the Gnostics aren't. That's okay. I'm good with that. Then he said, being suspicious is one thing, but making new rules and condemning the rest to hell is taking it too far. Making new rules. Can I just say, I have made zero new rules. They're all in here, Mark. They're all in here. No fornicator, no adulterer, no drunkard, no idolater, no person that practices witchcraft. None of these people will inherit the kingdom of God. Those are sins you must repent of. You must confess sin, repent, turn away from it, and follow Jesus to be forgiven, to be saved, to be on your way to heaven. This is not... There's no new rules here. No, the new rules, and it really, he's true. There's the rules, he just doesn't want to hear what the New Testament says because he's believing what the serpent said in the garden. You can eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can live in sin, and you will not die spiritually. You will not be separated from God. You will not go to a place called hell if you're lost, if you continue in sin and rebellion. This is the gospel being preached by these people, the false gospel. And notice what he says here. If anything, flat earth is about acceptance. And that should fall in line with a lot of Christian teachings. Does this sound like somebody that knows the Bible? No. And yet, thousands of people are listening to this dude. No, let me tell you something. Acceptance. Christians, as Christians, the Bible teaches we are to love everyone. Yes, we love everyone. Even you, Mark. Even the pee drinkers. Even the witches. Even the Satanists. Even the Gnostics. Even the Bigfoot communicators. It's not about that. It's about truth. I love you enough to tell you the truth. There is a way to salvation. There's a way to forgiveness. There's a way to eternal life. There's a way to escape the judgment of God that you deserve, that I deserve. There's only one way, and that's Jesus. Repentance of sin, faith in Him. And it's not the New Age Jesus of Oprah or Deepak Chopra or the Universalist. Or the there's universalists that call themselves Christians, and their idea is universal salvation. Well, Jesus died for everybody, so everybody's going to make it. That's that false doctrine. And maybe he believes that. But notice he says, seems like common sense to me. Maybe one day he will come back around with a bunch of long overdue apology letters. I saved Dean for the end because of what's coming next. Don't hold your breath, Chief. I don't have to apologize. It says to be true. Sorry it offends you, but that's the way it is. Now look at that. It's not going to play. Let's see. Is it going to play any of them? Well, that's not good. Well, here's what I was going to play for you. So Mark was on, let's see, he was on, what's the Australian, what is that show? Good Morning. It's like Good Morning America Today. I mean, it's still owned by the same company, I think, that does the one here in America. But he was on that show, and so he had his little, you know, flat earth with the dome over it, and he was showing them all that, you know, and telling them, somebody built this. And so you're on Australian TV. You claim to be a Christian. You have this audience of, who knows, maybe millions of people, right? And the reporters ask you on live television, who built it? Who built it? Who made this place then? Here's what he says. Take your pick. Take your pick. Let me tell you who else preaches that nonsense? Oprah. Take your pick. No, you don't get to take your pick. And see, this is what it is. Let me tell you, let me just go ahead and tell you this right here. Anybody who pushes that kind of idea is part of the satanic antichrist beast system that's coming. Because that's their whole philosophy. That's their theology. Whatever you choose is fine. Just don't tell me I'm wrong if I'm following Buddha or Krishna or Allah. You don't get to tell me I'm wrong, Christian. Otherwise, you're a bigot. Otherwise, you become an enemy of the state. See, this is what it's going to come down to, folks. And really, I'm just using them as an example this morning. Because it's going to come down to this. Not do you talk about God. Not do you talk about trying to do good or what's right. Not do you say, oh, let's all just get along. Remember, the Bible says this. This is in Daniel chapter 8. He says, the Antichrist will come. It says, by peace he will destroy many. Well, wait a minute. I thought peace was a good thing. Oh, there's a counterfeit peace. And then there's the peace of God. What does the peace of God do for us? The peace of God leads us into the truth of His Word. The peace of God leads us to Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. But the world will create their own type of peace. They're trying to create their own unity, their own little kingdom, utopia on earth. That's what the whole New World Order is about. And the whole message is, follow Buddha if you want to. Follow Krishna if you want to. Be a Hindu if you want to. That's okay. It's all good. It's all, many paths lead to God. Oprah gets up there and says, I had the video of her, but they won't play this morning. She has the video, I'm a Christian, but then she says, all paths lead to God. This is the deception, and it's everywhere. It's in this flat earth movement. It's in the, I mean, I don't care. You see Joe Rogan, his big podcast. You see it now being pushed even by InfoWars and Alex Jones. It's supposed to be alternative news media truthers. Let me just go on and tell you, a lot of truthers are not into the truth. They're part of it. Remember this. Why don't we put up, since none of this is going to work, why don't we put up Matthew 10 real quick? Go to verse 34. Matthew 10, verse 34. Everybody just turn to Matthew 10, 34. And this is going to be something I believe we all need to get a hold of. And I've talked about it before. Let's start reading there. Matthew 10, 34. We're going to read down through verse 39. He says here, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it." That's what Jesus said. Could this be more clear? Did Jesus come here? Did Jesus want us to create a version of Christianity that keeps the peace at all cost, that forfeits truth and the hard truths, especially about sin, about judgment, about eternal damnation, about the consequences of those things? Does he want us to forfeit the truth for the sake of peace and unity and call that love and call that getting along? No, you guys need to get ready, because let me tell you something. If you stand for the Jesus of the Bible in these last days, if you preach the Jesus of the Bible, if you preach what he said, where he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man will come to the Father except through me," that there's no other way. If you try to climb up to heaven some other way, you're nothing more than a thief or a robber. He is the door. He is the shepherd. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. If you try to go around him, then you are deceived and you're a deceiver. And he says here, Jesus said, "Think not." Don't think. He told his disciples, "Don't think that I'm come to send peace on earth. I didn't come to send peace. I came to send a sword." And that sword is the written word of God. It is the truth that does not change. That there is a heaven and there is a hell. And the Bible is very clear. The New Testament is very clear about what will send you to heaven or what will send you to hell. Amen. There's no confusion about it. The problem is that the churches don't teach it anymore. They don't preach it anymore. And so even most Christians don't even know it. They don't even know it. They've just been told, "Oh, you believe in Jesus, you're good." And most of them don't read the Bible. They spend their days watching movie after movie after movie. They don't read their Bibles. They don't know their Bibles. And so there, some Christian come along, or some pastor like me comes along and starts telling them what chapter and verse says. Oh, Lord, he's drawing lines in the sand. Yes. Truth is absolute. Don't you love the people? There is no absolute truth. Are you absolutely sure about that? No, there's things that are true, and there's things that are not true. And ultimately, God said we're going to be judged by what's in this book. Remember it says that judgment is set. When the judgment is set, in the book of Revelation, he says, and the books were opened. What books? There's going to be several books there. You want to tell you what they are? There's a book of remembrance that's going to be open. You know what that is? That means everything you've ever said or done, that book's going to be open. Right. Then there's the book of life. Find out if your name's in there. If you've been born again and you've stayed faithful to the Lord, we're going to see about that too. But I also believe this book's going to be there. It said books, plural. The books are going to be open. And you're going to be judged according to what was written in those books. You're going to be judged according to what's written in this book right here. Because this book tells you about the book of remembrance, and it tells you about the book of life. And there's people going to start trying to make excuses, and the Lord's going to say, it's written. Remember last week we talked about the 10 virgins, the wise and the foolish. Foolish, Lord, Lord, open to us. No, it's written. You had to come here with your lamps full of oil, fire. Where is that written? Matthew 25. Do you know that? Let's go to another one. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 2, real quick. Because see, these modern Christians, many of these modern Christians think that if there's conflict, if there's battle over truth, oh, we can't have that. We should always have easygoing peace, love, joy. We should never be disturbed or upset. And you know what's amazing is Jesus never sinned. Jesus always walked in perfect love, in perfect peace, in perfect truth. But do you see him in conflict with people? If you read the Bible, if you read the New Testament, do you see Jesus in debates, in conflict? Yes, you do. Somebody said, oh, we shouldn't call anybody names. Well, you just accused Jesus because he sure called them some names. But there was conflict, and this is what Paul says. I want to read this. This is 1 Thessalonians, and I didn't finish turning there, did I? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. He says, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Much contention. Paul said, even though they beat us and abused us and threw us in prison at Philippi, when we came to Thessalonica, we were still bold to preach to you the gospel, not a watered-down version, not a false gospel, not a counterfeit gospel, but we were bold to preach to you the gospel with much contention. Who are you going to be contending with if you've got an idea, oh, God loves everybody, we're all children of God, we all have the Spirit of God in us, and we're all going to make it in the end? How will you ever have contention? Nobody be upset with you except some crazy preacher in Alabama. No, you'll go right along with the crowd. The vast majority, this is where they're going. Now Paul said, when we preach the gospel to you, you got to remember, he's saying, when we preached at Philippi, they beat us and put us in jail. And when we came, we didn't let that cause us to hold back the conflict. How many people would say, you know what? Philippi was rough. We're going to take it, tone it down a notch. A lot of Christians do that, though. The conflict's too much. Let's go look at the book of Jude, Jude 1. Of course, there's only one. And we'll just read the first few verses there. Christianity, true Christianity, will always be in conflict with lukewarm Christianity, with counterfeit Christianity, and with anybody who takes it up in their mouth and pretends to be a Christian. If you're not in conflict with these people, I question either whether you have been bold with them, or you're just hiding and being quiet, or are you really a Christian? Remember this. Saying you're a Christian doesn't make you one.
Amen.
Do you live it?
Amen.
Do you believe it from the heart enough to live it? Do you speak it?
Amen.
Or does fear of man rule you? Let's read Jude here. The half-brother of Jesus, so he grew up with Jesus. This is Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's read a little bit more here. He says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about them, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, let's back up here for a little bit. Jude said he sat down to write a letter of exhortation to the churches. He felt the Holy Spirit leading him. You need to write a letter. And as he sat down to write, the Holy Spirit came on him even stronger and said, I felt a strong need to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. The word contend there means to fight for, like a contest, like a boxing match, like a gladiator in the arena fighting the wild beast. It's a fight. And he says, I exhort you to earnestly contend, to fight for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Not the watered down version that we have today. Not the lukewarm version. Not the mega church version. Not the Mark Sargent Flat Earth International Conference version. Not the Torah version. You hear what I'm saying? The faith that was once delivered to the saints, one time, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, rose from the dead, that you must believe in him, repent of your sin, take up your cross and follow him, or you're not worthy of him. And Jesus made it clear that the only way you escape the eternal flames of hell is to follow him, believe him and follow him. He told them over and over, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. If you don't take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of me. If you're ashamed of me and my words, I will be ashamed of you. If you deny me, I will deny you. This is what he taught. This is what he said. He didn't mince words. And he said, we were to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered. That faith, and I talked about it last week, that faith includes the forgiveness of sins only through faith in Jesus and through repentance of those sins. But the Jesus we follow still heals the sick, still casts out demons, still raises the dead. He is the resurrection and the life. He has not changed. So any church or religion or person that acts like Jesus has changed, it is not the faith that is once delivered if they change it. And notice he gets real specific and he says, there are certain men who have crept in unawares. They've snuck in among us, claiming to be Christians, and they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness or a license to live however you want to live. And people think it's strange. If you walk around going, I'm sure that acceptance is part of Christian teaching. That's that Antichrist spirit. That's that United Nations spirit right there. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ, what did he say? Luke 13. He said the way to life, that road is narrow. And few there be that find it. He said the road to destruction, to eternal damnation, to the place where the Sodom and Gomorrah people went that are suffering the vengeance of eternal fire to this day. He said that road that leads there is wide and many go that way. And many go that way saying they're Christians. I'm going to tell you right now. You can say you're a Christian, but if you don't believe what this book says, from Genesis, as we say, to the maps, then you've already apostatized. Because the word apostasy means to depart from the truth. And the word of God is the truth. Jesus said it, John 17, he said, sanctify them. He said, Father, he was praying, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. The only way you can judge whether something is true or not is to know the Bible and know the principles of the Bible. And I'm talking as a Christian. Goodness, if we could just get Christians saved, we'd be all right. Most of them in churches all over America this morning are not even saved. They've never repented of their sins. They've never felt guilty of their sins as a Christian because they've been taught a version of grace that is lasciviousness, that is a license. And that's taught many different ways. Some churches teach it as once saved, always saved. Churches teach it as Calvinism. Some churches teach it as basically universalism or universal salvation. They just have different ways of saying God's okay with you the way you are. You don't have to change anything. You don't have to repent. You don't have to deal with anything. In fact, I can go to some churches right now, and I do it too. I go on to there and listen. Listen to a year of sermons. Do you hear them mention repentance of sin? Do you hear them mention hell or eternal damnation? Do you hear them mentioned in Judgment Day and some will make it and some will not? Do you ever hear them talk about those things? Do they ever name specific sins like fornication or adultery or drunkenness or idolatry or witchcraft? Now, do you know why people email me all the time and say, the Holy Spirit convicted me, I've repented, I've given my life back to the Lord, because you showed me what the Bible said about habitual drunkenness Or you showed me what the Bible said about habitual fornication and adultery, sexual immorality. You show me what the New Testament said. I will not inherit the kingdom of God, that I have got to stop that. So I did. And they said, you know, I never heard a preacher say it. That is terrible. I remember back 30 and 40 years ago, even when I was a little kid, when I was 5 years old, 6 years old, going to churches and the preachers would preach. They would flat tell you adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. Idolaters will not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't worship Mary and think you're going to inherit the kingdom of God. It's idolatry. They would just spell it out. I mean, I love Leonard Ravenhill, called the Roman Catholic Church with all of its idolatry. He's called it the greatest forgery Lucifer ever made. That was the way the old preachers used to preach. That's the way the Leonard Ravenhills and David Wilkersons and Keith Greens used to preach. They're all dead and gone now. It's time for us to rise up. Quit being ashamed. Quit being fearful. Quit trying to please men. Would they label you an enemy of the state? I got several. I'm an enemy of the Flat Earth International Conference state. I'm an enemy of the New Agers state. I'm an enemy of the Satanist state. I'm an enemy of the deep state. I'm an enemy of most of the political system. Why? Because I won't shut up about the truth in this book called the Holy Bible. I won't shut up about who Jesus is. I won't shut up about him being the only way to salvation and the only way to heaven and the only way to eternal life and the only way to a wonderful kingdom on earth where there will be no more pain or suffering or war. That's why I'm an enemy of the state. I've exposed their new world order, their plans for a world government, their plans for a world leader that's going to deceive you, their plans for a world wide economic system with a chip in your hand or your forehead. It's because I talk about that they've lied to you about the shape of the earth, the nature of the earth, the nature of the cosmos, and everything else. They have lied to you about everything, but this book is true, and we can prove it. We can prove it with real science. We can prove it with archaeology. We can prove it with manuscript evidence, and we can prove it with fulfilled prophecy. There's no book like this. Not the Quran, not the Vedas, not anything. Nothing like the Holy Bible. There is one God.
Hallelujah.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and it's all about Jesus, and his name is the name above every name.
Thank you, Jesus.
People running around, Yah, Abba. I'm sick of it. Stop. The name this book says that is above every name of God even. God has many names. Elohim, Yahweh, El Shaddai. On down the list. The name this book says that is above every name is the name of Jesus. Amen. It is that name where we get salvation. It is that name that makes demons tremble. It is that name that drives out demons. It is that name that heals the sick.
Amen.
Only in that name. What do you think the Pharisees told the apostles? Stop preaching that name. But I talk about God. What's his name? What's his name? What name must I call upon to be saved? What name must I call upon to be forgiven? What name must I call upon to get rid of the demons? What name must I call upon to be healed? What name must I call upon? You better call upon Jesus or you're going to be lost forever. No, Pastor Dean, it's Yeshua. No, I speak English. It's Jesus. And for 32 years, I've seen people saved from their sins, delivered from demons, healed miraculously, baptized in the Holy Spirit, all in the English version of his name, in the name of Jesus. People walking around, Yahushua. Stop! People don't even know who you're talking about. So the Torah movement's demonic. It's just demonic. Most of the Torah movement, listen, most of the Torah movement, they don't believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. They don't believe in hell anymore. They don't believe in eternal damnation, judgment, or punishment. They don't. Most of them. I'm not saying all, but most of them don't. It is a road to apostasy and heresy. But it's interesting, most all those people at the latest FEIC conference, they're either Gnostics or Torah followers or New Agers or witches or Satanists or agents. And man, let me tell you, I just say this, and I'm gonna be blunt. The only part I got to listen to the whole thing was this Owen Benjamin. Everybody's just been fawning and drooling over Owen Benjamin. So I listened to his whole thing. Somebody put it online, and I was like, "Oh Lord." I hope there are no children in the room. It was the most foul, evil, rated X comedy routine. And at the end, after using the F word and GD and talking about all kind of sexual acts, both homosexual and not homosexual acts, all in joking and ways, and everybody laughing it up, he talks about he's a Christian. Now maybe, just maybe, he's a baby Christian. But when I was a baby Christian, I had enough sense to know that using the F-bomb and joking about sodomy and saying GD was probably not good. Like Mark said, common sense, you would think. I'm just marvel at the Christians who sat there, who sat through all that laughing. Makes you appreciate people like, you know, back in the day. Of course we know they all have their problems. But there were comedians back in the day that actually had standards. I mean, if you got to get a laugh by talking like junior high school football players in the locker room. That's how you got to get a laugh. You're not a good comedian. But I just marvel. But they eat this stuff up, though. In fact, I even wonder, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I even wonder if Christian comedy is even something we should be doing. Pastor Dean, will you say something funny sometimes? Yeah, but Everything in this world is trying to be funny. There's serious matters going on here. Life and death matters. Heaven and hell, eternal matters. Yes, Mark, salvation matters. Salvational issues. Are you an enemy of the state? What does the state mean? State's just a way of saying what? The establishment. Mm-hmm. We have establishment Christianity. It's the accepted version out there, right? We've got the establishment in the political realm. We've got the establishment in the intelligence world. We have the establishment at the United Nations. We have the establishment, the Illuminati families and the Federal Reserve and the World Banks. We've got the establishment. Let me tell you, if you're against where the majority is going with all these things, and you stand for the true Jesus of the Bible, you are an enemy of the state. And you'll be an enemy to anyone who's on the other side or trying to straddle that fence. Why do you think Jesus said, the world will hate you and love its own? Now, Jesus said one thing, though. He said, just remember this. They hated me before they hated you. But if we're the disciple and he's the master, are we going to get off easier than he did? No, they hated him. They arrested him. They beat him. And they crucified him. Because he said these words. He said, they hate me because I testify that their deeds, their lives are evil. His mere presence and his words revealed their evil, the evil in their heart, the evil in their mind. But see, what we have now is a world that's turned everything upside down. Good is evil and evil is good. Amen. And so many people now, their conscience is completely seared, desensitized. Amen. So there are many people now that have no feeling about good and evil. In fact, even Faith, there was some cartoon movie that came on the other day, and she, 9 years old, recognized, she said, Dad, they're trying to make the bad guy out to be the good guy. I said, yeah, babe, this is a common theme in the world right now. Really, these movies, you got two evil people, and one's just not quite as evil, and he becomes the hero. But he's evil. Why is that? So we can make evil, we can normalize a certain level of evil and sin. Let me tell you something. Just stand up against homosexuality and call it evil, wickedness, sin. Call this transgenderism sin, wicked, evil. You become an enemy of the state real quick. Enemy of the homosexual state. Right now, you'll become an enemy of a lot of the Christian state just by standing up against homosexuality and saying it's wrong. It's sin. It's evil. It's wickedness. The Bible calls it an abomination against nature. That's how God describes it. He says, I hate it. I detest it. You say that in certain places, you get yourself arrested in Canada for that one. Mm-hmm. They will arrest you. If you stood on a public street corner in Canada and started preaching that, they will come arrest you. Probably not much longer. We're always one election away from total communist country, them turning us into a communist country. You know, the Supreme Court the other day started allowing now where people can sue gun manufacturers. You know what that is? They finally crossed the lines. Start suing all the gun manufacturers. Guess what? What are they trying to do? Keep it where you can get, keep you from getting one. Why is it they don't want us to have a gun so bad? Because they want to take over this place. That's something you better get a hold of. They want to take over this place. But remember what Jesus said. We read it a minute ago. What did he say? He said, my truth, my sword. I didn't come to send peace. I came to send a sword, that sword of truth. He said, that's going to even turn families against each other. I mean, you think about it now. And sometimes, you know, years ago you would think, well, that's only somebody maybe that was a Muslim and they became a Christian and their family disowned them and stuff like that, or a Jewish person and they became a Christian and their family disowned. No, it's happening with supposed full-blown Christian families. Everybody's a Christian, but you got this group of Christians here and this group over here now. Why? Because some have watered it down. It's lukewarm. They've created they've perverted grace and they've made it a license to sin, and sin's okay and God loves us all and we're all going to make it. And you got the Christians over here reading the book going, no, no, that's not what it says. Well, we don't like that part of the book. We like this other part over here. It says love. God is love. But we don't like the other part where God is judge. Same book says both things. So, Marky Mark, P.P. Steer, she'll be back. She'll make another entrance like the Terminator. Just appear out of nowhere. But you know what? Honestly, they're really the least of the worries now. Just using them as a fun example this morning. You don't have to walk too far to find a Christian who one day will put you in jail for what you believe. And they'll say, we're Christians. We're Christians. We're Christians too. We're just not like them. They're mean. We're Christians, but we're not like them. We know that God just loves these homosexuals just the way they are. And God loves these people even though they don't know whether they're a boy or a girl. And you know what? It wasn't a long time ago. Many people forget. Many people don't know this. Up until 1970, the American Psychiatric Association labeled homosexuality a mental disorder. Why? Because it's not even common sense. It's not even normal nature, nor natural affection. And it's demonic. Now, again, I talk about this. Does that mean anybody hates homosexuals here? No. In fact, we know people that used to be homosexual that are forgiven. They've repented of that. God's delivered them from those demons. And they're serving Jesus and they're doing well. You can be set free. You can be healed. You can be forgiven of homosexuality or premarital sex or adultery or hatred or witchcraft. You can be forgiven. That's the good news. You know, they got mad at me in 2017, but I said that. You can go back and listen to it. There's a way to be forgiven. That's the good news. There's a way to be in right standing with God. There's a way to know your sins are washed away. There's a way to know for sure that you are on your way to heaven. But it all comes down to, do you believe in the Jesus of this book? The Jesus of this book, Colossians 2, 8 and 9. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It is a mystery. It is a great mystery. Paul called it the mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy 3:16. God was manifest in the flesh. It's a great mystery that God Himself, the Creator, the only true Creator, the God of Genesis, the God of Moses and Abraham, that He would come down and take on a human body and be born of a woman so that He could live and then teach us and then suffer and die and be the sacrifice for our sins. That is a great mystery, but it is the absolute truth, and it has changed millions of lives and delivered people from demons and delivered people from sinful, destructive habits and delivered people from terminal illness and delivered people from going to eternal damnation. And I will never, ever back away. So if that makes me your enemy, because you choose to back away one day, that's your problem. Paul told the Galatians, and you can put up if you want to, Galatians 4:16. We'll close with this one. Paul asked the church of Galatia, the Christians of that region, a simple question. I'm going to let them put that up there. What is that simple question? Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Obviously for Mark Sargent, it is. But he's not the only one. I tell you, lukewarm Christianity, you're going to be spewed out of the mouth of the body of the Lord Jesus. He said, I'm going to spew you out if you're lukewarm. Does that make you mad? Make you upset with me? Is it because I tell you the truth? See, I found out one thing over all these many years of doing this, trying to live the Christian life and preach and teach it. I find out that it's all fun and games until you get specific. You can sit in church all day long and everything's fine until the pastor starts talking about your sin, your idol, your problem, your issue. Believe me, I know. In fact, that's all you got to do to upset a Christian is find out what their idol is. Ooh-wee. Yeah, it gets interesting. Well, what God wants us to do with our idols that's in our heart? Tear them down. Tear them down and remove them. First thing, what's the first way to get free from your problem? You got to admit you have one, right? I need to do just an entire message just on the subject of idolatry. That ought to be a good one. There's a lot of idols. You're not sitting at home with a little statue of Buddha rubbing his belly wanting good luck. No. A lot of people, they got idols of different things that no one ever sees. Right? To a lot of those people, and just like I told them several years ago, flat earth to them has become an idol. See, one truth, one side truth, though all truth's important, one side truth, if it keeps you from the truth, it's an idol. If it becomes everything to you, it's an idol. I mean, we got people, now don't get me wrong, we got people in the Pentecostal world, they're Pentecostals that believe in speaking in tongues, and now they've turned tongues into everything. You don't speak in tongues, you're not saved, and all other kind of nonsense, it's crazy. But they've turned that into an idol. It's one truth. It's a, you know, it's a side truth. It's a peripheral truth. It's important, but it's not salvational, and it's not everything. But Jesus is. What you believe about him, about who he is, what he's done, where you are in your relationship with him, where you are in your faith, where you are in your repentance, oh, that's everything right there. He is the pearl of great price. He's the one that said, if the man that found the pearl of great price, what'd he do? He went and sold everything he had, and he went and bought that field. And he was talking about himself. He's the pearl of great price. I'm hoping these so-called truthers out here will go all the way. All the way to Jesus. Because if you don't, you're going to be part of the beast system. And some of them are part of it and they don't know it. And some of them are part of it and they know it. But in the days ahead, you will be forced to choose sides. Amen.
Right.
So let's stand. Let's do that third song, and then we'll worship for a minute, and we'll go. But out there, listen, I want to say this while they get that ready. It's not hard if you're ready to give up your sins, if you're ready to make a change, if you're truly ready to repent and believe what Jesus has done for you, and you're gonna really surrender your life and take up your cross and become a disciple of Jesus, then you're ready. But if you're not ready to do that, quit saying stuff that's not true. Jesus even said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? Sure. So it's simple if you made that decision. I made that decision in June of 1987. And I'm glad I made that decision. You see, I believe there's a lot of people that are not saved right now that go to church every Sunday or regularly.
Amen.
But they've never really decided that Jesus is their Lord and Savior and Master, and they're going to obey him and follow him and all that. They're just practicing a little bit of Christianity. So you can do it today if you haven't. Let's worship him for a minute.
Deep in our hearts, there is a longing for you, Lord. Here in this moment, there is nothing we want more. Oh, humbly we bow, surrender. We'll be right back.
Father in heaven, we worship you today. We bless your name. We thank you for your word that is true. We thank you for what you've done for us, Lord Jesus, on the cross, your resurrection. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us the truth. Those here today, Jesus' name, yeah. Amen. All right, hug some necks.
I am weary from the waves crashing.